Welcome to the Power of Love show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief. My name is TJ Jackson, and with me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson.
I swear, they're doing some kind of thing right when I'm supposed to speak.
Taj, don't you worry, man. My house is loud as can be as well. Got two dogs here that are barking, communicating, and they're cutting trees outside. So the environment's getting changed. So you're going to hear dogs on my side as well. There you go. So this is what it's all about. We are live right now on Facebook and YouTube. So things are going to happen. And as long as we talk and are being completely ourselves and learning and growing, that's what matters. One thing I do want to say, you also may be listening to us via the podcast. If you are, please make sure to leave a comment or a review on the podcast. It helps others who may be looking for this type of content to find it. So it means a lot to us. And of course, if you're on Facebook or YouTube, go ahead and subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. And we're continuously growing the community, and it's turned in, the Dede Jackson Foundation community has turned into an incredible, incredible thing. So thank each and every one of you. Now, before we get on to our show, there's a disclaimer that we always do prior to doing the show, and that is that we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we have learned from it. And what we like to do here on the show is we like to share our opinions in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you may be going through. Saying that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please do not just rely on us. All right. That's the two important things to discuss that are out there already. I finally did them. I know Taj wasn't going to do them. But Taj, I am going to put you on the spot and ask you, how was your week?
Okay. Well, I have two things real quick. Yes. I'm going to talk loud just because to overcompensate. My sister-in-law, Thaisa, had a beautiful baby boy Saturday. So we're welcoming Oliver into the world. And it's really exciting. And so I'm very excited for her and Mark in that way. So that was one thing. And then the second thing is, you know, had a great Easter with my mom's side of the family, our mom's side of the family, you know, Auntie Lourdes and Lana and all those people. It was a lot of fun. You know, cousin Adam was there and all that stuff. And we are also celebrating JR's birthday, which was cool too. So it's always good to reconnect in that way, but it was just a lot of fun. And Taylor's now at the age where she understands the Easter kind of thing, the Easter egg hunt thing. So it was really a lot of fun.
Taj, a couple of things. First of all, I didn't know that. So that's awesome. So you are an uncle.
I'm an uncle.
You have a niece.
Yeah.
You have a niece is the best way. Another niece on that side of the family now.
No, it's Oliver.
Oh, it's a boy. Okay.
Yeah, so they have two boys.
Okay. Yeah. Two
boys. I don't know how you thought Oliver.
No, I don't know why.
You might have probably thought Olivia or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. No, they have two boys. So
okay,
I'm a double uncle on that side. Yeah.
So they're having the boys and you're having the girls.
Supposedly that's how it works, you know?
Okay. Well, Taj, everything was good. You know, I obviously wasn't with you this Easter.
Yeah.
I think it's the first Easter we've missed in probably a decade, with Auntie Lourdes. That's been the family staple for us as well. But you know, I have an excuse. I have a good excuse. We went over to Texas, and the kids got to do Easter with their cousins, and it was a lot of fun. It was a good moment for Frances and her side of the family, and obviously for the kids to experience that side of the family. So it was a great experience and a good time. I obviously always miss Auntie Lourdes and mom's side of the family. It always good seeing Adam and JR. I wish I was there for his little birthday thing that you guys did. But you know, there's always more time, and maybe next year we'll be there for it. So
exactly.
But besides that, Taj, everything's good. You know, it's all about family. That's the one thing as you get older, you start to realize and really get. And we have to make sure we enjoy all of our moments with them and all the memories we can make. So it sounds like both of us were able to do that this Easter. And I think that's a very important component to the holiday. So there you go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else, Todd. I think am I missing something? I feel like we're grooving through this show already.
No, we have there was a last minute donation.
Taj Jackson, look at everybody.
I've been doing this since you were born.
Okay. I can't get on to Taj this show. He just shot a three-pointer and swished it. So this was something we were supposed to discuss, and I almost went right past it. And Big Brother Taj was here to save the day. Anyways, at the very end of last week's show, Jennifer made a very generous donation to the foundation, and I just wanted to highlight it and give the proper props to it. So here it is, in honor of Dede Jackson's April 1 Heavenly Born Day. Thank you, Kara Belvin, who was our guest, for your presence today. So Jennifer, I just wanted to take this time on behalf of my big brother Taj and behalf of our foundation to thank you so much for your generous contribution to our foundation. So. Yes. Well, thank you again, Taj, for saying that. And there we go. Okay. What else do we have, Taj? Oh, there we go. I could have done it that way too. Anything else we have? Or are we ready to go? Yeah. Okay. Because we have an amazing guest joining us today. On today's episode of the Power of Love Show, we welcome special, special guest Angie Cartwright. Angie has experienced the pain of profound loss many times in her life, starting with the loss of her baby sister when Angie was just a small child, followed by the loss of her newlywed husband from a tragic car accident at the age of 21, and finally, the devastating loss of her mother from accidental overdose in 2010. Following these deeply personal experiences of loss, Angie found herself paralyzed with grief. Learning the hard way that grievers are often misunderstood, Angie decided to channel her grief into action and is now dedicated to raising awareness about bereavement and helping those experiencing grief to heal. Angie is committed to help change how our culture understands and views grief through a change.org petition asking President Biden to recognize August 30th as National Grief Awareness Day. Angie is doing her part to help end the stigma surrounding grief and help grievers find solid footing once again. Do your thing, Angie. I love it. By reaching out to thousands of grievers on social media for the past 20 years, she has found that healing can only take place when grief is not shamed, rushed, or tabooed. This is how she herself found her own healing. Love it, love it, love it. Here today to share a bit about her personal story and National Grief Awareness Day, please welcome to the Power of Love Show, the one and only Angie Cartwright, to the Power of Love Show.
Hi,
Angie.
Everybody. Hi.
You are here.
I'm so honored to be here with you two. So relaxed. Thank you so much for letting me be here.
Angie, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
You know, we do so many shows. We do them every week. How many are we on, Taj? You're supposed to know this count. We're in the hundreds.
We're approaching 300.
Okay, so we're approaching 300. And, you know, when we first started, we really envisioned a show where people like you can come and talk about what helped you get through your situation and help others. Because when we lost our mother, at least for me, I felt like there was such a lack of stuff to help us, get through it. And I am blessed enough to have an amazing brother and brothers and Terrell as well, and a family that helped me not feel that shame that negative feeling that sometimes people go through when they experience grief. So I'm just really happy again on behalf of my brother and the foundation to have you here to talk about what you're doing, because I think it's great. So you, Angie, have experienced losses at different stages of life, from, your sister in very early childhood to your husband in young adulthood and your mom in adulthood. Did your grief feel different at each stage? And that's my first question. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to know if it was different, how was it different in the different stages?
Thank you for that. I think, you know, one of the things I want to always talk about is we keep these conversations going, because let's just have a conversation and make this conversation, these topics, more comfortable than years ago and through the years have been more uncomfortable. And so we have a society that is fine, you know, and I was one of them. I've been the I'm fine person. And I've lived in silent grief, and I'll touch on that later. But silent grief to me is deadly grief. And I don't mean that you die necessarily, but we do lose people by suicide, because, you know, and grief is definitely a huge part of that, because people are not able to. We didn't really have, as you know, a place to. If somebody says, well, how are you doing? You know, and I'm like, do you really want to know? You know, because so I've tried those kind of things, those several scenarios I have. But every time I would take that leap, because I really wouldn't have any strength in the loss. You know, it just takes everything out of you.
Yeah.
So you and the friends are just trying to help, and they don't know. Well, let me go back. So I was 5 years old when Erica died. And actually what happened was is she had been sick for days, and my mom had her in a bassinet. And I was five, and I was, I got up. I just woke up early for some reason, and I looked over the bassinet, and I actually found my sister. And so it was kind of a two thing, because at that moment, for some reason, at five, I thought, how do I tell my mom this?
At five,
you were thinking. Because I do believe we're already made to grieve. I really do. Why do we have the tear ducts, the hearts and the tears? I mean, they're already there, you know? And so in that moment, it was just a tiny moment, but I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to tell her? It's going to destroy her. I was scared to tell her, but I went ahead and I told her. And I, you know, a loss when a parent loses a child, that cry, that screaming is completely different than any kind of crying I've ever heard. And she wailed. And so she, all I can remember at five is that she, you know, picked her up and ran with her. And so interestingly, a lot of the things that I can say now going back and, you know, retrospect what was going on then was a lot of me trying to help her. And what I did, and I didn't know it, and I've looked, like I said, it's all in retrospect, but is that I was listening to her, because, you know, she was out, you know, she'd be up through the night and I could hear her crying out at the dining room table. And sadly, we did not have, she did not have a person, a male in her life, husband, who supported any of that. And so I would hear things like, shut up, Rhonda, you know, and things like that. So, you know, like I said, I feel like, you know, we do have that capacity to grieve, and we have the capacity to listen. It's already in with us. And I think as we grow, society starts telling us, well, you know, you shouldn't cry. You shouldn't, you know, those, all those things start to come in. But, you know, when you're young, I mean, you got that, what's going on, you know, I want to know. So I would hold her hand and pat it. I remember doing that. But she would talk to me, and she would just miss Erica. And so I had a grieving mother. And so a lot of times what I would do is be a listener. And I ended up, through our relationship, she actually called me her rock, you know. And there's a lot to that. But anyways, you know, she always was like, thank you, Angie, you're the rock of this family, you know, things like that. So that was the first. And it, that's, I think the thing is, what is different with every one of them is that it's because of the relationship you have with the person, whoever that may be. Because there's like seven of us or six of us now in our family, right? So we have all these siblings, but we all have the same mom. But none of us really grieve the same,
right,
at the same time. Now, we may have had similar experiences, right? But we didn't have, we were all different. And this is what, you know, my experiences, and that's like all we can share is our experience, truly, is that we all grieve differently because we had our own personal relationship with our mother, you know? Yeah, there were big things that we all did with mom, but there was also those moments that you would talk to your mom or your parent. And so with each relationship person that that's passed, it's also been about that stuff, you know, the relationship you have with them, you know.
We always talk about that, especially Taj is something he always talks about, how, you know, we have three brothers that were raised quite similarly, even for us, but we all grieve very differently.
Yes.
You know, and continue to grieve differently.
Yes.
And I'm happy that you mentioned that, because I think sometimes for whatever reason, when people go through grief, they're expecting there to be some type of a playbook.
And there is not. If we know that, because we do a lot of, you know, I know I do and many others do, we put out there that every grieving person is different. And if that fact is true, then that means that your grief is different. It's not a different way in like an ego kind of way. Mm. It's different in a way of it's sacred to me. Mm. Grief is sacred. It's a relationship, a loving relationship between you and another, and your heart is broken and you're reviewing that relationship, and you will review things over past, future, now, all the time. But you know, I think the thing is as we talk about this, so if my brother, for example, is not doing maybe what I am doing, I'm realizing that I didn't have to be like worried and didn't have to go and tell him. So, you know, hey, you need to hurry up, or what's wrong with you? Or you need to join this thing that we're going to do. We're all going to be there. You need to be there, you know? And the bottom line is, the truth of it behind the scenes is this: some of us couldn't show up to things. My first holiday, she died in November. Here we go for the holidays. And, you know, I'd never had done this, but I did. I said, I will not do Thanksgiving this year. I was completely destroyed. Mm. And even my family looked at me like, oh my gosh, she's crazy. You know? But, you know, because of my grief prior, and I had an uncle that I loved very much. I was 14 years old and he died by suicide in a state hospital. And so that happened as well. And so I had so much experience with grief that I knew what was kind of coming a little bit. So it was like, this time, I'm going to have to grieve my way. And what I meant by that was I could not lock myself down and be okay no longer, because to me, like I said, silent grief is deadly grief. And I've been trying to talk about that for several years, because it is vitally important that we have this conversation.
Yeah, it's very powerful, Angie. I mean, a lot of people by the age of 21 haven't really even had their serious bout of grief yet, or loss, you know, and you had three. You had your sister, you know, at five, your uncle at 14, and your husband at 21.
Yes.
My question to you is, how did you, I don't want to say the will to live, but how did you stay optimistic about life, and how did you turn your grief and the hardship of dealing with all that into the wonderful blossoming person you are now?
Oh, well, you know, like I do live in sweats and I still have swollen eyes a lot and I still grieve today, but it's not as intense as it can be or was. I tell you, and thank you for asking these questions, because, you know, let's talk about this in a wide sense. Mm. You know, we need to go deeper, and that's what I feel like we're doing right now. And it's amazing. I just thank you for letting me be on here and to talk about this, because it's just so vitally important. So what I know about how I did the thing with my mother was different is because past experiences, I grieved in a very sick way after my husband, Thomas was his name, passed away. And what I mean by that sickly is I continued to drink and I did other things, and I was still driving and I was still going to the bars and the clubs or whatever. And trying to stay very numb. Mm. And what happens with that was, and I didn't know it. Like I said, we learn what's going on. I never know what's going on, why it's happening, you know, it's all in retrospect. But I look back and I was like, you know, I wanted to run my car into the wall, just sitting in there listening to the music. You know, music is a huge thing in our family as well. And so, you know, I'm listening to these songs, and it's just, and my husband was a singer in a band, rock and roll band. And it was just a local little band in the city, you know. But boy, he was good looking, and he was very good at singing rock and roll, and I loved it. And I miss him so much. Miss him so much. But you know, I had what he called guilt, survivor's grief, or that survivor's guilt. Sorry, of just me making it and him not, and why me and not him, you know, those kind of things. So it was very unhealthy for several years. And then what happened was, is I was like, when mom's thing happened, we'll move it up to that. I went into a therapist's office. I thought, okay, I'm going to try this. Because based on my experiences, there was no help. And what we did have, God bless them. You know, it was just not taught. It's like no one's fault. You know, and I had to realize that when I started the National Grief Awareness Day. So I went in there to talk to a therapist. God bless her. And I tell her this very tragic day of my mother being found on the floor and what that kind of looks like. And, you know, the stuff that you see and you feel. So I'm just like, you know, here you go. And it's taking courage just to make the appointment, just to get into the car, just to get into, to make it to the appointment, just to get down to the hallway. And then you're there and you're going, okay, what do I do? You know, and you say, you tell the story. And God bless the lady, but she turned around. She had been taking notes and she said, so Andy, do you know anything about chanting? I said, what? As I was, you know, just tissue after tissue. And I said, chanting? Well, yeah, I've heard of that. She, God, you know, blessed her, you know, limited knowledge is what was there. There we go. But so what happened was, is I saw it hadn't changed from 1996 to where I was. That doesn't mean everywhere. But what I meant was that she was trying to put a grieving person who was in trauma, PTSD, traumatized, trying to get them to meditate. Now, I ask you guys, when your first days of all of that, maybe even a week or two out, meditation for me was not on the table. I was incapable of doing it. You know,
so I was,
thank you very much. And I was crying. And yes, I got angry, but I didn't, you know, take it out on her. But it did lift me up a little bit. You know, I'm a little bit of a little fighter here. And I was like, you know, we got to do something different. And so that's kind of where National Grief Awareness Day came. And I threw myself into groups, a lot of groups that I had. We had over 22 groups I had on Facebook for different kinds of grieving people. And then finally, I was scared to take that launch of saying, okay, I literally want to have this day and I would love to have it legal, and I'm not messing around, you know? And so I haven't went away, and you know that we want 1 million signatures, you know, but guess what? I always tell myself it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. I don't throw a lot of money in it, and I'm not asking for money because it's more of a, you know, a cause. It's like, I just want to get it there because it's so serious. And you know, there's a lot of days, but we can lose that. You know, that stuff could go away. And you think about it, the only time we start hearing about grief on TV or whatever, as well as you guys know, it's there for a while until the next one.
Yeah.
And that's how grief is viewed. You know, it's like, well, you've got to get it together. You know, your family needs you. You know?
Yeah. So I'm amazed at, you know, because it took us a long time to figure out how to turn our grief into something more purposeful. We did get there. You know, we have the foundation.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you, Angie.
I love that.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So what amazes me is how you are able to turn your grief into an action and into your mission of having the Day of Grief Awareness and Education recognized by the government.
National
Grief Awareness Day. Mm-hmm. So can you just, and I know you may have touched on it, but I would love just hear clearly, why was this so important to you?
My mother was a grieving mother, and she grieved a lot of her life. And I didn't realize, even myself was not capable of seeing that, of knowing that. And so I knew of it, like I talked to you about, in a general way. And of course, my experience when I was very little, but Can you re-ask the question? You know what happened? My brain just went, ah! I'll be 50 this year. Would you please ask the question again? I apologize. No, I just went apologize. All of a sudden.
Don't apologize. You know what's interesting, Angie, too? And I'm kind of happy that happened, because when I talk about my mother, similar things happen. See? You know, and I feel like it's because there's so much love and emotion.
It's intense. It's an intense feeling.
It takes you somewhere completely different. And so don't apologize. And I'm happy. Okay. Like I said, I'm happy it happened, because it lets someone out there know it's not just them.
We're all human. You know? We're just human beings, a human to a human. So thank you so much for letting me be human.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? But my question was, why was, you know, turning your grief into something, an action item, you know, the National Grief Awareness Day.
I got really upset.
Yeah, I asked you, why was it so important to you to do that?
Well, grieving myself and seeing that it had not changed, and then the combination of how my mom was treated and not treated, and there wasn't a lot of places for her to go. You know, I mean, we just had Facebook come up, and I wasn't even on Facebook years ago. I mean, I just found myself because I was grieving, looking at whatever, and I ended up finding this thing. But, you know, I'll be very honest. I was angry, because I'm like, why are we continuing to tell people things like, now listen, if I say something, first of all, that's just something I believe in and I've experienced. That doesn't mean it's anybody who's listening. That does not mean, I always want to clarify that. These are my thoughts and my experiences and things like that, but we're all different. So I hope to not, you know, harm anybody that's listening. Please know that. But I was tired of hearing things like, you know, if a grieving mother or any grieving person wanted to leave the little kid's bedroom the same, or mom's bedroom the same, or put the pillowcase on, you know, whatever they wanted to do, it was not to me unhealthy. It's natural. We're having a natural response and we're bonding through those things, and it got tabooed, you know, those kinds of things. And so they felt like if that was going on, that you're not moving forward. Well, I'll tell you, we're forced to move truly in life. And so if they take the stuff away, that's fine too. But I do believe it's up to the individual themselves on what they want to do. And this was me, I liked, like I said, to listen to music. What would it happen? I would cry. Well, you know, like naturally made to do that. Why am I being pulled to that music? Why am I being, you know, it's a natural response I'm having. And so what would happen is, yes, my grief would come. It would be really intense, but I could have that connection with my mother, you know, or my husband or what have you. So first of all, it was anger. And I figured out that's not going to work. If I'm going to try to do this and stay and do this, I've got to see and look at the real true thing, you know, the wheel that's been invented and how it got here and where we are today. So I knew that things needed to change, and this is a bigger thing for me too. The language that we have around loss, the way we speak to the grieving people, has to change. And I believe it's changing, but I don't think you're going to get me to say it's there. You know, I mean, we are definitely way further than we've ever been. We're having these shows like this. This is becoming, I've heard grief on TV more than I've ever had in a long time. And the responses that they're doing on the TV program will be like, well, I'm here and I'm listening. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, it's actually getting into our culture. But something like this could go away, you know? And so I just said, okay. And I was scared to do it, because what were people going to say? And I got attacked, you know, some, they thought it was a holiday, and I'm like, no, it's not a holiday. They thought that this was a day to remind them to grieve. No, it's not. It was a day to remind the world that people are dealing with loss all sorts of ways. And we just need to love them and listen. Because naturally, I went to counseling. I took myself there when I was ready to somebody else. And I did some grief work myself with a certain book that I loved and a workbook. Because I've said it on videos before. If I could just be with you guys on the videos and work on Facebook all the time, that would be wonderful. But part of my healing had to come from the inside where I was broken. And so I found something that worked. So I made the page and I was scared.
Yeah. Understandably though.
Yeah.
Understandably.
Yeah. That's amazing in itself. One of the things that you said in terms of, you know, obviously everyone grieving differently, but what rang true to me was that, and TJ, I don't even know if you know, like when mom passed, okay, like the family just out of instinct wanted us to leave that house immediately.
Yes.
And I wasn't ready to leave because I almost felt like I didn't get to say goodbye in a way. But at the same time, because they were my elders, I trusted that they knew what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I felt like I was rushed out of something. Mm-hmm. In terms of comfortable surrounding. Tija, do you feel that same way too?
Yeah, I'm smiling, Taj, because it just goes to what Angie's saying. I don't feel that way.
You probably wanted to be. Yeah.
I don't miss that house one bit. I mean,
that was the thing. Even if it was like a couple of days just to say goodbye, I didn't even get that.
You're honoring your relationship.
Yeah.
You know, tears to me are a sign of honor. Yeah. You know, the tears have I've said before, you know, in each tier, there's lots of stories of you, between you and that person, you know, so there's a story in each tier. But yeah, especially the elders, I understand about respecting them. And so when I've been talking, because, you know, to me, a lot of people are, and I know I'm involved, creating kind of a new will, and that's hard to do. And I know you have to do it with respect to the elders who have been here way before me. I'm still green, you know. And I don't think I'll ever arrive at anything. You know, we're always learning, but is that they were doing what they knew and what they were taught. Yeah. So when I would go up against, not against, but it felt that way, up against an elder, I would want to honor them. And a lot of times that back then was, you know, well, for me, it was like, we didn't get to go to funerals when we were real little. That was one of the things I remembered. And then they would talk about the stuff that was going on, kind of, where we would have food. And then all of a sudden, everybody just kind of went back to life and nobody talked about the loved one. You know, it was real, like if we were dealing with it or talking about it, it was like the fear was we were going to get worse. You know, we were going to linger in grief. We were going to stay. The fact is, in my experiences, and I've talked to quite a bit of people and I've heard their experiences, and the experiences is that when we feel that grief, when I go ahead and I lean into, because, you know, it's kind of like a big grief attack comes, poosh, you know, and you're, whatever's happened, it's happening now. I'm like, okay, grief's happening now. Here we go. We're going for a ride, you know? And so when I would lean into, because I didn't before, remember I was talking about unhealthy, how I was doing it in an unhealthy way. I thought this time I've got to lean into it. And it was real messy and it was crazy. And, you know, crazy. It wasn't all beautiful. Like, oh, I'm just going to lean into and be okay. But leaning into that grief attack or that grief wave that would come, it was like a filter to me. I would feel that stuff and allow myself to cry. And I think on my tombstone, it's going to say lady with tears, because I cry all the time when I'm talking and everything. It's just there. So I just honor that in myself, and I do laugh about it. But anyway, when I would allow that stuff to happen, like if you have to go to the house for something, you're doing something on purpose. Now, I know I'm not trying to say you were wrong on your feeling of him being there, but I might have been worried while you were there. But as we talk about this, we can realize that, well, he had a purpose. He just said it. I feel like I didn't get to say what I needed to say. So let's not be scared that he really wants to go do that and say some things he needs to say, because it'll be in here anyway, right? So what happens is when we're told, no, you better not this, you better not this, oh, don't do that, oh, you better not listen to that, you know, whatever. Well, inside it's still going on. So what happens is, this is the longevity of it, is that you start, because then you start, maybe you start sharing with people and they're saying, oh, you shouldn't think like that. Your mom wouldn't want you to be like that. You know, that kind of thing. Well, the thing is the feelings are there. What do you do with them? So we're pushed down, they're pushed down, So next thing you know, what you're doing for me was living two different lives. I could come out and present a smile easily. How are you doing? I'm fine. I'm good. And I was dying on the inside, right in front of my kid. I mean, I remember one time my mom had been gone 3 or 4 days and somebody said, how are you doing? And I didn't have an answer for that. But I started talking to him, kind of just like push play, you know, and I'm just talking. And it's robotic. But on the inside, I'm having this flash of myself on the ground, right, looking right up at them and just wailing. At the same time, I'm trying to talk to this person and smiling. And I believe our world is like that.
So I have a question, Angie.
Yes.
If someone can relate to exactly what you're saying and going through that exact same experience and feels that's exactly what they're going through today, what would you tell them?
Like the feeling I just had and I was...
Yes, yes.
Well, you know, at that point, I had a lot of weakness. My soul was, I was beat up. I had no, like, I didn't feel like I could fight, you know? But what I would suggest is you honor yourself. Don't place yourself in a place where people are going to say things like that. You know, I didn't have to even say nothing to them because sometimes they're afraid of us, you know, because they don't know what to do. So for a while, it's kind of like, you know, even animals, when they're harmed, they go in and they kind of heal. It's like a wound. Well, this is what, you know, this is, our heart's broken. We're shattered from the top to the bottom. And gosh, if you could see real grief in our bodies, it would be just crazy, you know? So here's this girl that's actually on the floor. I got through that conversation, but what I thought was, I can't do this anymore like that. So eventually what I did is, first of all, I would say, it's okay to protect yourself. It's okay not to put yourself in positions where people are going to be talking to you like that. If they're upset, well, this is a time, it's sacred. You're grieving who you're grieving, and it's your time with them. And so if we can look at grieving more of a sacred experience, even though it's messy and all of that, so honor yourself. And then as the strength comes back, what I did was, well, I started kind of claiming it. I remember looking at my husband at the time and my children that were pretty well grown. And I said, you guys, mom's going to grieve and I'm going to grieve my way. And they were like, you know, mom's losing it. You know, I didn't want my kids to live like that. I didn't want them to stuff their feelings. You know, I've got a lot of grandchildren. Whoa, that's a whole show. So the ideal of leaving this earth and leaving that in them where they feel like they can't talk to somebody or they feel like they're being weak or, you know, they're thinking that, you know, especially like my son, you know, he's a male, he's a man, we got to be strong and all that. That's all a myth because men cry just the same as women. We have the same tear ducts. Our hearts are pretty much the same. We all cry, but we're not, men are not in our world allowed at times to do that. So then they feel like they have a whole double life. Some men have three lives. You know, it's the I'm fine look. Then it's the letting your, you know, you're at home with maybe family and crying with them a little bit. And then you have your time. And what does that look like when no one's around? And so I have to honor that stuff by kind of standing up for myself. Cause I used to think that I needed people's permission. Like I needed to say, hey, listen, I'm really struggling right now. I may not call you for a while. Please don't get mad at me. I had those feelings and it's like, whoa, whoa, wait a second. I spent more time defending my grief than grieving.
Wow.
You know? And it's like, I can't do that anymore. It's killing me. You know, if I'm trying to defend my grief, I'm on the wrong track. So if that person who I'm talking to is very vitally important to me, then yes, I would get the guts up to let them know just a little bit of what I'm doing. And I was going to be open about my grief. And I understand that, you know, it's uncomfortable and I don't expect them to fix me, you know, but there wasn't many I called, you know, there was just a few that I was real, real close. You know what I mean? And so But what I did is I figured out one day that I actually not only had a body and a spirit that grieves, that's made that way. We can be in that silent grief and in prison. And I've been there. And I don't want anybody to be there. That's why I liked what I do on the pages. I have a page called Grief the Unspoken. And I stay with the people who are broken. You know, we have a lot of healers and they do their part, you know, but you don't have to stop the part where they can come in and it's not good, you know, and nobody wants to join a grief group, you know, but then you find solace. And over the years, I've seen people go take trips and they'll send me pictures, you know, and stuff like that. And I just so, you know, but yes, so I mean, here I am. We started, I think, in 2014 or 15, and I started petitions on, like, the president's White House website, but they would do a 30-day thing, and in 30 days, you'd have to start all over.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, this isn't going to work. I did it, like, for 4 or 5 months, you know? And so, and then I found somebody said, well, you can go over to change.org, and so they've really helped me. And, you know, all that's been done or the foundations that have been built by what's been going on in my world has been by sharing, helping other people share their stuff. There's not money involved or anything like that. I do know on change.org, you can pay, you know, like $5 or something, it'll get shared, but I never bother that. I have a peace in my heart that it's like, we're going to be there. You know, we're going to be there. Have I ever gotten worried? Yes. I'm human, you know. I'm like, when are we going to do this? You know, can we do this? Am I crazy? You know, but what I find every year is it just gets bigger and bigger and the conversations are happening. And I just, that's how I think I found you guys, because all I did is put a hashtag, I think National Grief Awareness Day. And so through all the year, I try to find different posts and thank people and all that. And I think that's how I was thanking you guys for your amazing posts for the day. And that's how we met, you know.
Well, I'm so happy we did meet, because you've already made a big difference in our community just sharing your story. Sylvia says, so true. I needed this. Thank you. Jack Love says, thank you for saying that, Angie.
You're welcome.
Says, this is very good. Georgina says, I love how honest and real she is. I can listen nonstop because she speaks facts. Gary says, thank you. This is very helpful. And,
how wonderful.
Sarah has a question, by the way. Do you host any community meetings or grief groups? You'd be great at it.
Well, you know, that's true. And I thank you. You know, I thought about doing that, but I do have, this is just like side note, I have physical illness. And so I have fibromyalgia and I have 3 autoimmune diseases. So my energy level is fairly low, but we all have our place, right? And I know I could go in and do the groups and stuff. But what I thought was, do one thing and do it well. And then I found out that there are groups here in the town. So my thing is I would like to, if I could, I would speak everywhere. I spoke like a couple times, but I love to speak. And I love to talk about all levels of grief. And you know, I'm the grief lady, you know? And so I'm going to talk about the real stuff. And there's been times I've done interviews and, you know, we get, because real stuff happens behind the scenes. Nobody wants to talk about. And then they think they're losing it. They think they're, something's wrong with them. Well, honey, you're broken.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's okay. Because you know what? You will heal eventually. And I don't mean like you're going to be healed and sealed and that's it. I'm talking about that. I believe the sun will rise one day for you on your journey. And as we talk about this, maybe we don't have to make it as hard for the ones coming that we haven't even met, you know, because if I would have had some of the stuff that's already here, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So 100%. I do think and pay honor to all those that had set some things up that did the best they could. It was wonderful for what it was, but I will tell you this, just a fact. I always try to get it in here. There are no stages in grief. Because if each grieving person is different, how can you put it in a stage? What are you going to do? Tom's stage and this guy's stage and her stage? You couldn't do it. So the lady that invented the stages. Wonderful, beautiful lady. And I just went blank on her name, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. There, I got it. Yes. she did the work then, and I love her, and I wish I could have met her. But she wrote in one of her books, I think it was in Death and Dying, that she didn't mean for those stages to be for those that were grieving after a loss. She meant those for the people who were dying.
Oh, wow.
And so when we as grieving people, so I try to make sure I talk about it. And I've gotten some, you know, backfire from it. But I'm like, here we go, publish. You know, it's that I'm not trying to disrespect anybody, and I'm not trying to start. But I want to let them know that if you're not in denial, I wasn't in denial that she was gone. But there was a time I was in denial about my husband. So those were two different things, right?
Right.
But if you're not doing those things and you're thinking, man, I'm not doing this right, I should be there, I should be here. No, we're just right here. And whatever is showing up is what's there. Mm. And the other thing I'll say, and I know I got a little bit of time here, but is that it's okay for me to look back at my memories with my mom. People will say, well, you don't want to think about all that stuff. You don't, you know, she wants you to be happy and live in the now, you know. So there was a lot of, used to be a lot of teaching about, you know, not setting in the past and all of that. And it's like, well, that's where my memories are. So how can it be not in a sick way? How about it's, I'm going to honor those memories. So I can visit my memories and love her in our memories. And some of them are painful. Some of them are just amazing. But I'm still coming back to now. So I needed to free myself. And I found out that I had the key already. It was me. Not that I can heal myself, because I do need, I am a believer in getting help, being taught things. I'm just open to doing that stuff. But I also believe that I hold the key to allowing myself to be exactly where I'm at times. I did one thing, you know, I go through the grocery store, and you know what? Ask every checker how they're doing. And they're always going to say fine. Well, a lot of people didn't want to go to the grocery store with me. But what I did, if I was having a tough day, you know, or something, I wasn't throwing all my stuff out there, but I'd ask them and I could tell, you know, maybe something was going on. And it wasn't that I was trying to be nosy. It was, they said, how are you doing? You know, and he said, fine. And I said, you know, I've had a real rough day. And he just turned around and looked at me and he said, you know what? Me too. And then we started talking. We started having a conversation.
Do you relate that to the idea of us not feeling we have permission to talk about our grief? Is that why we are always stuck saying fine when we're not? Because we don't think we have the permission to speak.
We feel like we're going to maybe dishonor our elders. Society has had a way of looking at this. So, you know, we're kind of supposed to be done within the first 6 months in a way. You know, I don't know the year or the 6 months, you know, thing like that. But to make the change is, you know, you hear that to be the change, you know, is that I truly have to allow myself to say, Angie, you have every right to feel exactly how you're feeling. You miss your mom. And if I cry for her on Thursday at 3 in the car, I'm okay. I'm not going to stuff that stuff. So sometimes, like, let's say something comes up. Like there's a get together with friends and I'm having a mom day. You know, I don't have to tell them everything. And usually we're like, we show up, we just be present, you know, and actually I'm dying on the inside. And I really, all I want to do is hold mom's pillow. You know, I'm talking about mom because I guess she's just right here today. But we never want to say, no, we can't come, you know, because then they're going to be like, well, are you okay? Well, you need to get out a little bit. You've been in the house for a while. Yeah, I'm in mourning. I'm healing. You know, I always say, if you're doing something harmful, that's the red flag. You know, because we don't, that's something that, you know, yeah, we all can do our things differently, but I do raise that flag of the red flag to say, listen, though, if we're harming ourselves, I had to go get help because I did try to harm myself when my husband died. And that's when I was in terrible grief and I wasn't treating it. I mean, not that there's a right way. I'm talking about I was doing things like drinking and doing all those things that made intensified everything and would numb things. And, you know, I actually found out 3 or 4 years later that when I started to heal, what I meant by was I was choosing different things to do to heal, that all that grief that I'd already cried in my beer over and all that stuff was still right there. Because I, you know, yeah, I can speak freely with the beer, but it was numbing myself. So I never talked about it just like with clarity, you know. Aren't we afraid of pain? You know, I think that the world wants us to be happy, and I understand that. But the thing is if we don't get honest, I mean, really honest, and allow ourselves to be truly what we've been given, which is we've been given happiness, and that's great. But we've also been given sadness. Why ignore it? Ignoring it is going to make me worse, you know, and that's what happened to me. I just got worse, worse and worse and worse. So I claimed my own day, wrote about it a little bit, you know, and said, you know, I finally found out that, you know, I had the key the whole time. And the key was me. And so I would tell that friend, you know, I hope you guys have a great time. I wish I could be there, but I'm not able to make it. I don't have to go into everything if I don't want to. Or you can say, I am grieving mom today, you know, depending on who it is, you know. You can have those little conversations with your friends that are the ones that are important, that may not have that ability to come to you because they don't want to hurt you. They don't know if they're supposed to bring it up, when and where. Well, we don't either, really. You know, so try to give your friends a break a little bit when you can. If you can't, don't worry. See, like I said, everybody's different. So just in this experience, I let a few friends that I had for 20 years. I said, you know, Liz, I said, I'm going to be, I need to grieve my way. Well, what does that mean? You know? And it's like, well, if I'm crying and I'm in my bed crying, or I'm running around the house with the music on crying, and I, you know, I just cry and cry and cry and talk about her, hold a picture, you know, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Because when I stuff it, it increases. When I release it, it's kind of like a filter, you know, like a waterfall, or you know what I mean? Like a filtration system. And I feel like that's how we are with our spirit. You know, after a good cry, I'm emotionally hungover, but there's that for a little bit, you know, and you just kind of got it out. But, you know, I mean, I just believe in that because of my own experiences. That may not be your experience, but it's nobody's. Nobody has to have. I finally figured out that it wasn't anybody that was ever going to tell me, Angie, you can grieve now. You're free to go. Nobody did that.
Yeah.
But I finally found out I could do that. So I've been trying to free others by that.
You are doing an incredible job, Angie, because you're really resonating.
You guys are too. You all are too as well. I love what you do. Well, and I don't know if you could tell people what you guys do before we close up, because I have people that are listening as well.
Okay.
And what you do is amazing.
Well, you know, this is just our weekly. We do a lot of different things, but for the Power of Love show, we do this weekly where we have wonderful people like you, Angie, who speak the truth and speak your truth and just educate the community on loss and grief. And it's an honest approach. You know, we want, if we can leave the world making it easier for people to understand and go through grief, then we'll be very happy young men.
Yeah. Can you guys do the music thing I checked out?
We do music heals
for children.
For children.
Yes.
Because love that. I started crying when I found that out.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
I think that's why we were able to adjust maybe better than others, because we had music around us. We were able to express what we are going through music.
And music is so healing.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Angie.
Really is. It's so healing. People get scared. I remember I couldn't turn the radio on because a song would come on and I would just lose it. But really, truly, it wasn't losing it. I was just grieving and having a big one, big wave, you know? Yeah.
Well, Taj, I know you probably want to say something, but I want to say something real quick. Mm-hmm. Angie, there's like a list of questions I had prepared.
Oh, I know. I saw them.
But for because it's National Grief Awareness Day on August 30th. Mm-hmm. But what I would ask you before is if we can do another show related to that when we get a little bit closer to that date.
Discussing, I would be that. Honored. And, you know, okay. When you had said something about your August and your month.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it's meant to be for us to do something.
Yeah.
Maybe our mothers brought us together. I don't know. I don't
know. They're working up, you know? Yeah, working hard up there. Yeah.
They're like, okay. You know what? And my mom, my uncle Tony played a guitar very well. I remember the last song that he, because he was in the hospital, and the last song he sang to me, well, he sang the Eagles very well. But he sang the You Are My Sunshine, and he put me on his lap, and he put the guitar in front. And he sang to me. And this uncle was always, Tony, his name is Tony, he was always playing with us, putting us in boxes and flying us around and doing all that stuff, you know. And so, God, I miss him. But music was his thing. My grandfather was in a band, and they recorded in Nashville or whatever. Nothing big or anything like that. But, yeah, so we had it all over, and my mom did too. And she shared that with us. And so I've shared music with my children. Yeah.
Great.
Very powerful.
Very important.
Yeah, but I would love to come back anytime.
Okay.
Well, we're do something together. Just let me know.
I want to make sure our community and everyone out there knows exactly what you're doing with, you know, National Grief Awareness Day. And I want to give it the proper time. So what we'll do is we'll reconnect, in a couple of months and get that going. Todd, did you want to say anything? Because there's a bunch of comments I also want to highlight that our community has.
Do the comments first. Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot.
Oh.
There's a lot, but I will go right into it.
You bring Angie back. I just seen that. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, Jack, Jennifer said, I already think these are some of the quotes you said. I think we are made to grieve. As Grief and Grit says, we are made to grieve. How beautifully said.
Yes.
Yours truly, April says we all process grief differently.
Yes, we do.
This is from Sarah, who says, Angie, your bravery and transparency amazes me.
Uh-huh.
Carrie says, I love that. Stories in our tears. So true.
Yes.
Suzanne says, thank you, Angie, for using the limited energy you have to help other people. You're amazing.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to make me cry, guys.
Jennifer wants to add that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was writing it for herself when she was dying. Exactly. Not after loss.
Thank you.
Sarah says, can I coin that? Don't stuff your stuff.
Yes, you may.
and then Care and Thrive with Dr. Lana says, so true. Appreciated, Angie. Grief has no light switch to be turned on and off. Our hearts need space to be sad.
That's right. Oh, wow. Honoring that. Yeah.
Jack Love says, the key is me. I love that.
Yes, you are.
And then Jennifer adds, silent grief is deadly grief. Angie Cartwright on Wednesday, April 12th, 2023 said that.
Thank you.
She also says, seven siblings, we are all different. We all grieve differently because he had a different relationship with our mom. That's a paraphrase from what you said. So I just wanted to highlight.
You're listening, you know?
Yeah.
We're having this conversation.
Yeah.
These are happy tears of joy.
You know what it is. It's just, we normally have we wanted to make sure you had your space to talk because you were talking from the heart and you were really connecting with our community. And so we want to say a big thank you to you, for you, Angie, because that's what it's going to take to help us learn and understand the grieving process. As Sarah says, you are heard and appreciated. So thank you so much for all you're doing. But go ahead, Todd. And then Angie, what we're going to do is, because we're going to wrap up soon, I want to make sure you still get your final say.
Yeah, final thing.
Topic you want. But Todd, I want to make sure you get to say what you want to say too, man.
Look, I'm usually say a lot. I'm just going to be very quick. You know, I'm so appreciative of you being on. And as you said, yes, I mean, the listeners, they adore you in that way. And I so appreciate that you're tackling grief head on in that way in terms of out there, because it needs to be out there in that way. I wish it was more for us back in the day. And I know you do,
right,
while you're doing it. And so I really, truly appreciate you and appreciate you coming on and look forward to the next one.
Oh, me. Yes. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yes.
Okay. So that brings us to the ending part of our show. And Angie, as you were prepared and you already knew, what we like to do here is we like to give our guests a minute or so. You could take two, whatever you need, Angie, but to talk about anything you want to talk about. It could be on topic, it'd be off topic, but anything you want to share with our community. We would love to hear what Angie wants to share with us.
Oh my goodness. And I did read that several times. I'm like, oh, I could never write it down. That's one of the things. Cause I just, you know, it comes from here.
Take your time, Angie. Take your time.
I'm so honored to be here. You know, I think we talked about it and you allowed me to have that space. And you're here in that space because I think it takes us all. It's not just one thing or one person. It's like a village, you know, it takes a village, grief village, to get one griever through, you know, sometimes. I'm going to talk about silent grief. I think it's vital. We don't have to lose people due to things like you can't cry or you feel like you're not able to cry and you feel like you're dying on the inside. And the reason why I say this all the time is because it's, you know, yes, I have joy in my life and I have great joy in my life. Please know that. And these tears really are like overwhelming amount of gratitude. But I remember what it was like to be in silent grief, and it was deadly and it was killing me on the inside. I felt empty and lost, depressed, lonely, guilty, shame, all these things, and try to put that in the steps, you know, I mean, all of these things. And so if you're there, please know you don't have to stay there. But you can take little baby steps. If you can get from the bed to your couch today, whoa, that's a big day. Not measuring yourself by others' progress, because you're both different. So learning how to honor others in their grief and however long that takes, we got to get rid of that timer. I have it too, a timer. And I always try to tell it to shut up, you know. I think it's in us and it's going to take a while for that to not be kind of a natural thing to say those things. But if you're there, there are groups that you can go to. There are places that have been, you know, lots of different things have changed over the last 5 to 10 years, just in my little short time I've been here. And so there's grieving groups that you can go to. And, you know, I restarted my group. So I have one group that is like an all grieving group. It's for everybody. But then I will be getting the single groups that have their own primary thing. So the other one I have right now is grieving parents, and they're closed. So I want you to know that there's people around here that will talk with you, that you can share places and not have to feel like you need to honor your grief, you know, honor yourself. It's not the journey, the grieving journey to me is so sacred, and so are you. You were made that way to grieve. We were made to grieve. We were made to be very happy and joyful, fearful. I mean, we have all that to lesser or greater, you know, degrees. So I just always want to make sure that if you're one with the desperation, that you reach out and you don't have to tell everybody your whole story. I've had people in groups for years and they never posted, but they did this. They read posts. And what they did was, is they were like, I don't feel so alone anymore. I don't feel like I have to hide myself. I've watched people free themselves and it's just like, oh my gosh, I cry, you know, because it truly, truly what happens is, you know, we're so broken and under in the ground, and then, and we think we're never going to stand back up. And if you're thinking that today, that's where you're at. And I honor you. You got to be where you're at. I just want you to know the sun will rise again one day. And there's a lot of people you can hang out with, especially on social media, that are grieving as well. We have a very big grief community and lots of stuff, lots of resources out here that we never had before. You know, I want them to know that they don't have to be in a prison of grief.
Well said, Angie. Well said. Thank you for that. And I'm going to post some of your social media so people know, but maybe while I'm doing this, changing the banners for those who are listening on a podcast, you won't be able to see this, but maybe you could just say what's the best way for people to get in touch with you or to learn more about what you're doing, and it would be wonderfully appreciated.
You know, the best way is right now, I don't have a website or anything because I did, but you know, funds and things like that. But what I decided to do was put National Grief Awareness Day as a cause. And then so people can get to me by my email. So people write me in there. Now I will say that there's many emails and it's just me. So I try, and sometimes I can't get back to people, but I try to read them, you know? And so they, if somebody needs to reach me, that's the best place. And I will get to you. It just might take a little time. You know,
well, understandably,
so, but you can go to Grief the Unspoken on Facebook. And, you know, always, if you don't know how to tag people, you know, you just tag my name and I'll come running over there and, I'll talk with you there, or you can go on National Grief Awareness Day page, or there's the, I do have a what is that? A public figure page. Mm-hmm. I had to start separating everything, you know. So yeah. So tag me on Facebook or the email, you know.
Very so, good. Yeah. We have both. We put them up again. The email address is National Grief Awareness Day at.
It's Gmail. All small letters, though. I don't know if that makes a difference.
I think it's we're still good.
It won't matter.
Yeah, it won't matter. So yeah. National Grief Awareness Day at gmail.com. We're going to close the show, but before we do, I just want to highlight a couple more comments for you, Angie. Janine says, Angie, we so feel your beautiful spirit. Soleil says, sending you love, Angie. It's me. Toria says, you are very strong to show yourself such vulnerable and authenticity. Yes. Carrie says, such a sweet soul. Jennifer says, holding your heart, Angie. No. Georgina says, Angie, with a big heart, with three hearts. Carol says, you are an honor. Mr. Clarence with the prayer sign. And well, Carol says, I need to play this show over and over again. Karen Thrive with Dr. Lana says, what we all think. We love to have you back. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Angie. And then Park says, Angie, sending you unconditional love.
Much love to you.
So, Angie, on behalf of my brother and our entire foundation, we just want to thank you for your time today. You spoke from the heart. You spoke and gave all of us a lot to understand and made it very simple for us, this very you know, topic that is so challenging because of our, I think our society makes it more challenging than it needs to be, but
that's right.
It's people like you who help us get through it. So thank you so much for being on our show today. And we will definitely be seeing you sooner than later, hopefully, because we still want to dive in about National Grief Awareness Day and why August 30th and what's the significance, all those questions.
I think we can combine some of the August stuff with other August stuff. Maybe that's just an idea.
We'll figure it out. We'll be seeing you soon. So, all right, we're going to sign off, everyone. We want to thank you guys for watching and joining to us. We will be back. The Power of Love Show will be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Again, Angie, on behalf of my big brother, Taj, and our entire foundation, thank you for joining us. You are a special guest and something I think all of us will always remember. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. Take care. Have a good rest of your week.
Bye-bye.